we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a headline from the Daily Telegraph, read by Peter Donaldson.
Young offenders to hang at the National Gallery.
And our thanks to Richard Lythier for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, a newcomer to the News Quiz, stand-up Susan Kalman, along with our stalwart Francis Ween. And opposite them on my left, Sue Perkins and Jeremy Hardy. Francis, who says we should all have a go if we think we're hard enough?
Judge.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, it is. He's called Judge.
That is his name, I believe. Yeah. He's the Lord Chief Justice, a job for which he was born, really. he has released the chappie who battered a burglar.
Mr. Hussein.
With a cricket bat. The judge said although the sentence was justifiable in law, there were greater considerations, which were that the Daily Mail and Daily Telegraph got very agitated about it.
Whenever these cases come up, though, I always find it fascinating because it's about the proportion of violence you use when someone breaks into your house. It's kind of like, if you come at me with a stick, I'm allowed to use a stick back. If you have a knife, I can use a knife back. If you have a cricket bat, then I can probably use a machete. And it's kind of like, it's like violent armoury top trumps in your house. Is it a knife? Can I use a cricket bat? But in Scotland...
That's the home of the Have-A-Go hero. That's the home of the, you know, the man on fire.
He didn't think twice when he was on a cigarette break at Glasgow Airport about beating a man senseless who was on fire. It was just instinctive. Even a second thought about should I do this, should I not do it? What are the legal ramifications of beating a man who's on fire? He just thought, let's say it about you.
You don't have cricket bats in Scotland, though, do you?
No.
So to batter somebody, you have to throw them into hot fat, don't you? Top cop man of the Met wants us all to do this, doesn't it? So Paul Stevenson says he wants the public to do this more. He said you should have the confidence to get out there and attack burglars. And if it's not too much trouble, perhaps you could photograph and fingerprint them and take statements.
And we'll
call the magistrate. And then possibly there's a number of unsolved murders you could help with.
But the Have-A-Go hero, it does sound like the least successful of Marvel Comics creations, doesn't it?
Points for effort, man. He tries, but he's got asthma.
Sir Paul Stevenson, the Metropolitan Police Commissioner, said that citizens who tackle criminals should be applauded for their courage on the day that Have-A-Go hero Munir Hussein had his 30-month prison sentence suspended by Lord Chief Justice Lord Judge. I do hope his first name is Shrewd. Back home, Hussein thanked the media for their support and then asked them to leave him in peace and never have the paparazzi tiptoed away so obligingly. 2 points to Francis. Sue.
Hello.
For whom is the future looking a glass and a half empty?
Well, this is, I believe, is the American foods company, Kraft. And Kraft, I don't know why I said it like that, possibly to inject a level of excitement and brio into an otherwise possibly turgid mergers and acquisitions story. Who knows how many other accents I will randomly interject into this seamlessly dull monologue about what essentially is an enormous company swamping one of the last great and beautiful things about our beloved nation. Basically, they've spent £112 billion on dairy milk, so somebody in Kraft really wanted to get that Golden Wonka ticket. Really was talking about it. 30 years they've been buying into it. And these people are very, very rich. They're so rich, they're almost as rich as if you eat 3 cream eggs on the trot and follow it with a flake, which you know you shouldn't, but you do anyway, because why not? It doesn't matter. You're just there on your own in your pants and no one's going to see it. So this merger, I'm hoping, will add to some... create some interesting foodstuffs, you know.
Well, they make cheese, mostly. I mean, what are we going to have? Cadbury's cheese tray.
I'm looking for the sort of processed cheese dairy milk. I'm looking for the sort of nougat Lunchables. or see the face you love light up with Terry's All Cheese. Basically, there's a lot of dissent, mainly from the little town of Bourneville, which is the only town in Britain to be made of 70% cocoa solids.
furious because the Americans are coming.
The prices have gone up. Kraft have borrowed £7 billion to do this.
They borrowed quite a lot of it from the Royal Bank of Scotland, rather brilliant.
You give us loads of cash. It's they've got millions and billions of pounds. They've got pies up in Edinburgh. It's great. We've got a whole new fairground called the Royal Bank of Scotland Fairground. Thanks, taxpayers.
So we've given the Royal Bank of Scotland billions.
The Royal Bank,
£70 billion.
£70 billion.
They've then loaned it to Kraft, who've bought one of our great British institutions.
And they're going to close down the Curly Whirly on the strength of it. And Finger of Fudge and picnic bars, they're going as well.
They had a large pie chart, and it showed how much of the chocolate, the ones that, you know, that weren't selling as many, they were saying, no, they're just going to get rid of the Curly Whirly and a Finger of Fudge.
Over my dead body, Susan.
I'm not a violent person, but I think now is the time to stand up for what we believe in.
Now, talking about equal force, if a man came to my door and tried to take my Curly Whirly away, under the new laws, how would I be able to defend myself?
With a crunchy. Because you suddenly start reading about these things. During World War II, Cadbury's turned part of their Bournville factory over to war work. What were they doing? Was it the short-lived chocolate Spitfire? Or
all the chocolate was melted down to make bombs.
To make iron railings.
Yeah.
That's a thought. Powdered cream egg.
Quite a serious effect on the product, though, because I don't know about you, if you American chocolate to me does not taste right. I mean, I'll eat it for a couple of hours, but after that I feel really sick. I can't keep going in the way I can with, say, a Curly Whirly.
The amazing thing of all about it is that they've defied Peter Mandelson, Kraft.
Well,
which
this
is
was
not
the most...
something you do lightly. No. I don't know if they know what they're in for, but...
Business Secretary Lord Mandelson said he was powerless to intervene. Powerless? Has the Book of Spells gone back to the library? Thousands of jobs may be at risk after American food company Kraft succeeded in its bid to take over Cadbury's, paying $12 billion for the company. The bid upset the National Alliance of British School Tuck Shops, which had offered £3.50 and a wedgie. Kraft had laid siege to Cadbury's for some time, but eventually won the battle by leaving a giant chocolate horse outside the Bournville factory. 2 points to Sue. Jeremy, why might beefcake be bad for your health plans?
Basically, Massachusetts has always been democratic, and yet apparently they're Reagan Democrats, which means they voted for a liberal black president, but they don't like him. So for the senator, they've elected a man who says, "Hi, I'm Scott Brown, I drive a truck." But they all like him, because he once got his tackle out for centre spread of Cosmo. So he's...
He was the sexiest man in America in 1982, I think, wasn't he?
As an impoverished student, Scott Brown posed naked for Cosmo magazine. Didn't you do something similar in Women's Realm?
Well, it's not known in politics. Did you know that Jeff Hoon, before he went to Parliament, was a Chippendale?
No.
No, don't say it.
Do you mean the Disney characters, Chippendale?
No, all right, he wasn't. I was just testing.
I'm so glad, because bile rose in my... It's a really unpleasant moment. That's why they call him Buffoon.
Alistair Campbell wrote for Scud Mags, didn't he?
Yeah, he wrote for Forum, he wrote Porn. He wrote The Riviera Gigolo.
Really?
No less, yeah.
Imagine her surprise when a huge weapon of mass destruction appeared.
I think it's been tough for Obama, because all they keep going on about, he hasn't closed Guantanamo and he hasn't sorted out Afghanistan, and you think, well, I haven't painted the bathroom, I meant to do that.
What kind of slogan is, "I got a truck"? What kind of slogan is that?
Well, it's a better slogan than "Vote Brown". No one's ever going to vote for that, are they?
At least that's sort of pertinent to the message. Mm. I mean, I got a truck. I've got a Golf 1.4 GTI. Doesn't mean you should elect me to a position of responsibility.
It's some sort of coded way of saying that he's a white man who doesn't have any truck with liberal namby-pamby nonsense like healthcare for the poor.
But maybe, Sue, if you tried that, "I got a Golf GTI in Croydon", you'd come in on a wave of enthusiasm. Don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Senator Brown Beefcake, with his pickup truck. So I looked at the photo of him in Cosmo. It was, And what I loved, if you haven't seen it, please go onto YouTube and watch his acceptance speech. Did anyone see it? Oh, it was just... Sarah Palin must be overexcited at the thought of her new running mate. Really?
She just said Sarah Palin, aren't you meant to...
speech, he's just, it's astonishing and quite frightening, because he went, thanks very much everyone, thanks very much, and there's all the ticker tape, and he said, and thanks very much to my two gorgeous daughters, and they're like, hello, hello. Oh, God, yeah. And just to answer the question all America's been asking, yes, they are available.
Only one's available, the other one's got a boyfriend. So he's been a lawyer, he's been a beefcake, and now he's acting as a panda for his two children.
Do you not feel a bit sorry for Obama, though? Because what has he got, approval rating of 50% or something? I mean, it's good. Mind you, Gordon Brown would kill for that, wouldn't he? He's probably never been in a room with 50% approval rate, even when he's on his own. President Obama's first year in office has been marked by a Senate election defeat in Massachusetts, which threatens to derail healthcare reforms. Republican Scott Brown, a.k.a. Senator Beefcake, won the once Democratic Senate seat of Massachusetts over fears that Obama's healthcare plan will cost trillions of dollars, raise taxes, destroy jobs, and drive the country deeper into debt, a job that Republicans say should be done by bankers. At the end of round one, the scores are Francis and Susan have got 4 points, but so too have Sue and Jeremy. We start round two with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph.
Baroness Boothroyd has criticised John Bercow for refusing to wear the traditional speaker's outfit. Lady Boothroyd wore tights and knee breeches, which were dropped by her successor, Lord Martin.
And our thanks to Liz Wood for sending us that. Francis, whose grand standing is great for gramps?
The Labour's going to give extra rights to grandparents to see their grandchildren if they don't have to go to court now to see their grandchildren.
Grandparenting is already rights without responsibility, isn't it? I'm always baffled by the term nanny state, because when I was a kid, your nanny was your dad's mum, and not only did she let you do whatever you wanted, she fuelled you with Quality Street and Tizer to ensure that you... Come and stay with Alan. Let's not listen to any of that nonsense about your blood sugar. No, you won't be needing any of that nasty insulin when you're at nanny's house, will you? No.
Have you seen the website that the government has set up for grandparents? It's called Be Grand. And one of its most popular articles was entitled, God. How to Feed a Pregnant Woman. Now, I'm not an expert. I would suggest the mouth. I think any other orifice, and she's unlikely to let you see the baby, I would have thought.
Sandy, there is another website if you do want to see alternatives. By the way, don't look up grey love on the internet. And some of those pictures will stay with me until the very end of my existence.
Is it squirrels?
Do you know that thing about unfortunately getting on the wrong website? I've got one of these new iPhones, and there's a wonderful thing where you can speak into it and it'll find the thing while you're just speaking. So I said, I thought rather clearly, cinema times. And there are the most astonishing websites to do the correct hour to take an enema, which I was... I'm not allowed now by the family to look up cinema times because... there's an extra point for somebody. While we're on the subject of families, does anybody know what service Debenhams have recently?
Oh, yes. It's a divorce present list.
Extra point to Francis, yes.
Alongside their wedding present list. And
divorce now list.
It's not right. It's just not right because whenever I've split up with someone, I've always been in the right. And as far as I'm concerned, when you're in the wrong... as they always were, I get to keep the flat and everything else, and you have to go and live in a bin.
But be fair, it should be a bin from John Lewis, I think. The government's new green paper on the family will make it easier for grandparents to apply for access to their grandchildren in the event of a family separation. The Tories are also keen to promote the importance of grandparents because grandparents are ultimately who you inherit your seat in the House of Lords from. The green paper on the family was launched at a nursery school. The paper was originally white, but year one got hold of some felt tips. 2 points to Francis, and he gets an extra point for remembering about Debenhams. Sue, have a listen to this. Boys don't cry. Boys don't cry. Sue, who thinks boys will be boys as long as there aren't too many girls around?
Yes, this is an extraordinary statement this week. Basically, a man called Mr. Little said that boys suffer hugely in the educational sphere because the education system is geared towards girls. Mr. Little, of course, is the headmaster of Eton, the famous 600-year-old bastion of all boys' education. This is a man who still thinks it's 1440. This is a man who's Plantagenet through and through. When the War of the Roses comes, he'll be absolutely all over them. He has no idea what a girl looks like. He just thinks they're those funny, grumpy ones with slight bumps on their chest that aren't very good at playing fives. Don't step up to the plate like Sebastian and Jonquil do. No idea whatsoever.
Little said that boys are more emotional than girls, although girls are very good at turning on the waterworks, he
yes.
said.
What with their bladders and faces and...
He said that boys are distracted by girls in education because, the girls are all blessing flowers and having periods and things and sitting on ponies in the middle of lessons. Sideways and having fainting fits because their corsets are too tight, doing embroidery. And but he said that because there are girls there, they're too busy trying to play it cool. So at Eton, there isn't the problem of boys growing goatee beards and smoking reefers and playing bongos in lessons like there is in comprehensive schools. Playing it cool, yes. Yeah, I've seen it in the comprehensives. They're on their Lambrettos drinking frothy coffee.
Little, headmaster of Eton, has claimed that the British education system has become too focused on girls and is failing boys. This follows a report suggesting that young men are less able to express emotion and creativity in mixed schools. Tony Little was speaking at the International Boys' School Coalition Conference in London, and after his differences between boys and girls material, he did 10 minutes on British Rail sandwiches and closed with a topical song about Margaret Thatcher. 2 points to Sue. Jeremy, why is the answer to home energy not blowing in the wind?
Well, somebody who's got a name and a job said...
It's that forensic ability to go through the week's news, Jeremy, that makes
There's still
me
something happy. Puzzling me, Inspector. he said that wind turbines are eco-bling, showing that he understands the modern parlance of the hippity-hop scene. He said that it's just for show because actually they're not very good. Wind turbines are a very good thing, but ones on your house aren't really because they're tiddly. But people have a little one to show the neighbours that they care. Darling, I'm just going out to do the recycling and then I'll come back and polish the turbine.
I think what they were saying was the turbines that people put on their houses, it's all for show, it's bling. It's essentially the same as when a lady, like myself, buys those pants
Maybe
that
you're a
suck
lovely
you
lady.
In, but you still get the back fat out the back. And when you take them off, you're just the same size. And it's just really so you get a bit of attention for 5 minutes, but it really doesn't make any difference in the end. You should just sit in your pants and be happy.
Actually, a wind turbine in your pants is probably the place to put it. The Royal Academy of Engineers has dismissed home wind turbines and solar panels as nothing more than eco-bling, which contribute little towards cutting emissions. David Cameron's wind turbine had to be taken down because he forgot to get planning permission. And ironically, the gust from a nation's guffaws would have powered his home for a lifetime. I can tell you, at the end of round two, Francis and Susan have got 9 points, but Sue and Jeremy have gone into the lead with 10. Before we start round three, here is a cutting from The Guardian.
The BBC feels a growing threat from its critics, including Rupert Murdoch, who owns Sky TV, The Times and The Sun, and David Cameron.
And our thanks to Simon Samaroff for sending us that. Francis, have a listen to this. Francis, whose habit of making a fast buck has led to much whining?
Well, it's these monks at Buckfast Abbey down in Devon, and this stuff they brew, this tonic, which apparently, I've never had it, but in Scotland it's the staple diet.
As a matter of fact, I've...
I'm not about bucking!
I've only got it here. It's a red wine-based aperitif.
Fortified.
High caffeine content.
Well, apparently it has one bottle. That bottle has the same caffeine as eight cans of Kona. And it's 15% proof as well. So you've got all the alcohol and all the caffeine.
Have you had this before?
Do you know, it's strange, because the stereotype is that I should have been nursed with the Bucks Fast, but I have never had it, actually.
Well, give us a go.
Strathclyde Police. Oof. The Strathclyde Police said that it was... In the last few years, there have been 5,000 crimes in Strathclyde.
I can't see anything.
But in wow.
Aren't you finding it Moorish?
No, I'm. I would think that counts as one of your five a day. That does, it says on here, which I like a lot, and won't be able to read in a minute. The name tonic wine does not imply health-giving or medicinal properties. You
it just feels
like I'm floating.
I've written a poem.
Leave him alone.
But this blaming by Scottish politicians for this spate of antisocial behaviour on this perfectly innocent tonic wine. Mm-hmm. If you're in charge of a nation's social policy, who better to blame than some people at the other end of the country on a vow of silence?
Report said there were 5,000 crimes that mentioned Buckfast. Not necessarily because of the drinking of the Buckfast.
No.
It could be someone getting upset because someone else had drunk their Buckfast. Yeah.
Apparently it was originally made by French monks who settled in this abbey in Devon.
They didn't plan on settling, they just couldn't get up.
And things. You like a glass of wine. What do you think of it, Peter?
Is this... I'm beyond speaking.
I hate it when I wake the newsreader during the programme. This is absolutely true. We had a very nice young man who's been working on the show, and we asked him to go out and try and find somewhere in London where you could buy Buckfast. He said, I found it in a shop in Soho just as they were closing it down for health and safety reasons. The Right Reverend Bob Gillies, Bishop of Aberdeen and Orkney, has criticised the monks of Buckfast Abbey in Devon, whose fortified wine has been implicated in 5,000 crimes in Strathclyde. The monks at Buckfast believe in silence, order and celibacy, apart from the chief taster, who believes you're looking at his bird and cruising for a bruising. Let's rush to the end, shall we? Susan, who wants young adults in Italy to get the boot? And honestly, I don't care what you say.
I was just, it's really nice that I've been invited along today because it's my first time and no one's really appreciated me like this. My mum never said I'd do anything. This story.
Yeah. Hello.
Is about an Italian. I don't know his name.
He's an Italian. Renato. Like, do you remember Rene and Renato? Oh.
Save your love, my darling. Save your love. Join everybody.
This Italian man who lived with his mum till he was 33, has obviously been teased mercilessly, and he wants to pass a law in Italy, which means that everyone over the 18 has to leave home, because apparently Italians stay at home till they're over 30. And all I thought when I read that story, I just thought, what's the sanction? What are they going to do to you? Are they going to forcibly remove you from your mother and father's house and put you in, I don't know, prison?
Well,
will make you a tiramisu you can't refuse.
The problem is because they're called bambiocini, I think, these people. They're mummies, boys and girls.
I've ordered that from Starbucks.
Bambiocini a la Buckfast. But initially they stay at home with their parents until they get married. And, of course, no young men are now getting married because all the young women are already bagged by Berlusconi, so they stay there forever.
What a lovely euphemism that was.
Do you know, I left home when I was 18 and my parents didn't notice till I was 26.
To get out through the cat flap, didn't they?
Italian Minister Renato Brunetta has proposed a law forcing mollycoddle... That's a good word, isn't it? Mollycoddle.
Well done for saying that.
Thank you. It looked awfully big as I went towards it. Where was I? Oh, yes. Italian Minister Renato Brunetta has proposed a law forcing mollycoddled Italians to leave home at 18 following a court judgment which forced a father to keep supporting his 32-year-old daughter. Italian judges ruled that parents are obliged to pay for their children's upkeep until they are self-sufficient, even if it means forever, a system known in Britain as the civil list. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Ween.
Sandy, it's from the website of the Institution of Occupational Safety and Health. It announced an event. Business Continuity Planning and BS 2599. What could possibly go wrong? Is the title of the event, and underneath it on the website they had to add, this event has been cancelled due to adverse weather conditions.
Ms. Cameron.
The cutting I've got has been sent in by Simon Ambrose, and it's from the Manchester Evening News, and it's the story of a granddad on a motability scooter was nearly four times the drink drive limit when he was stopped by the police with a woman on his knee. His solicitor, Angela Fitzpatrick, told the magistrates the reason he had someone else on his scooter was because she owed him some money and he wanted to be sure of getting it, so he was taking her to the bank.
Does it say what he'd been drinking? Ms. Perkins.
This was sent in by Alice Elizabeth Still. This was on the BBC News website. It's referring to a study of men and women who each had six UK equivalent units of alcohol a week. The equivalent of two strong pints of beer or a little snifter of Bucky. which more significantly reduced their likelihood of pregnancy. For women, they discovered this much alcohol cut their chances of getting pregnant by 18%, while men reduced their chances of a birth by 14%. Keep on drinking, lads.
Mr. Hardy.
It's from the Brighton College Argus. A prominent timepiece in the centre of Brighton has stopped working for the first time in 20 years. The clock tower is stuck at 10:30. A spokesman for Brighton and Hove City Council said, "We are investigating the problem. We're not sure of the exact day, but we believe it was around 10:30 in the morning or in the evening."
Take a look at the final score. Francis and Susan have got 13 points, but this week's winners are Sue and Jeremy with 14. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the Canadian Globe and Mail sent in by Brenda Harrison in Vancouver.
"The House of Commons is a hard place for the opposition leader to win," said MP Frank McKenna. "So I think he's smart to be going around the country exposing himself to people."
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Ween, Susan Kalman, Sue Perkins and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chair's script is written by Simon Littlefield, Roderick Crooks and Lucy Clark, with additional material by Mike Wozniak, John Luke Roberts and Gareth Wynne. The producer was Sam Bryant.
And you can download the news quiz as a podcast from...